141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of another huge weekend across Scottish football. Brendan Rodgers is the latest to reject the idea of a 10-team league and opt for bigger as Daizen Maeda picks up Player of the Month. David Gray gets the Manager Award again ahead of Hibs' trip to Ibrox. And buckle yourselves in for a huge weekend across the top flight and the championship and beyond in the company of Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Leave our league alone. There's nothing wrong with it. I've listened to the calls all week. I do not favour a reduction in size. I do not favour an increase in size. Last weekend, Dundee and Rangers gave us a 7-goal thriller, the best league game of the season so far. This weekend, we are looking forward to a fantastic Rangers-Hibs game, and Celtic inch closer and closer to the league title when they go to Perth to play St Johnstone. We are still, per capita, the most watched league in Europe. Leave it all alone, sit down and be quiet.
You know things are going wrong when Hugh Keevans is being positive about things. That should send shivers down everybody's spine. If he's happy, I don't really know where that leaves the rest of us. But Scott, what a weekend we've got in store.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the Hibs' away trip to Ibrox. I think obviously Hibs are unbeaten in 15, so they'll be full of confidence going to Rangers. Rangers, obviously, that's as Hugh touched on, what a fantastic game of football that was last week. So they'll be looking to win the game and maybe not concede the amount of goals they have done over the last 13 games or so. So a big weekend and obviously the split edging closer as well.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. It's Friday night, that's when we can really ramp up the pre-match previews. So what are you thinking? It would be nice to hear from some Hibs fans, because the only thing that's missing really is a result in Glasgow. You've climbed to third, you've won Edinburgh derbies, you're 15 unbeaten in the league, you've got results against the Glasgow sides at home, you've gone to Dundee United and won, you've gone to Pittodrie and won. What's next? Can you get a result in Glasgow? Give us a call. Rangers fans, there's been a lot of chopping and changing. Is it four at the back? Is it three at the back? Whatever it starts, which way does it end? Give us your thoughts on the game itself on 0141 951 1025. We are hearing from John Souter as well. I know there's a lot of debate around his contract situation and so on, so if you've any thoughts there. Lots of interesting stuff from Brendan Rodgers today, the latest manager to reject the idea of a 10-team top flight, as per the stories that came out this week. And again, he's another one in favour of increasing the size. If you've got any reconstruction energy left, let's do it. I know it's been busy with that almost every night this week, but naturally the Celtic manager speaks on it, it lights another flame under it, and on we go. So if you've any final thoughts to round off the week, then please do. Be keen to get your thoughts on the striking situation, Celtic fans, because on the day that Daizen Maeda was named the Premiership Player of the Month again, Brendan Rodgers, of course, praised him. He said he's got everything he's looking for from a striker. Where does that leave Adam Ida then? How does the picture look? Do you think Adam Ida's still got potential as Celtic's number one striker going forward? Or what do you think the striking department at Celtic Park looks like? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Stephen Robinson's been speaking today. You can't take your eyes off the Championship, whether it's because teams are doing well and going to win, or teams are doing badly, or off-field issues, or everything going on in the Championship at the moment as well. So let's do it all together. Between now and 8 o'clock, 0141 951 1025. Even the sun is shining, Hugh.
Where it leaves Adam Ida for me, Gordon, is on the bench where he's supposed to be, because he's no match for Daizen Maeda at all. They are the difference between night and day. Daizen Maeda has 30 goals for the season. He deservedly got the Player of the Month award again. He will be the Player of the Year because no one comes close. And he's the one who should break the model at Celtic. Daizen Maeda can't be sold by Celtic. It's a step too far. I understand that the player trading model. I also understand that Celtic have earned great sums of money from carrying out that model. However, Daizen Maeda is too important to sell, and Adam Ida is in no way, shape or form a replacement for Daizen Maeda.
Is he too important to sell? Does such a thing exist, Celtic fans? Let us know again, 0141 951 1025. We've even got Women's International Football tonight, Nations League, Scotland against Germany, at Tannadice. So come on, whatever it is that's on your mind, you're spoiled for choice on a Friday. It's 01419511025. So many issues can start being ironed out, Scott, over the next couple of games. Obviously, I think who makes the top six is the first one, because there's only two games left.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot on the line over the next few weeks. I think you've seen how competitive the league was last Saturday. So I think we're in for more of the same, because there's some teams who don't want to lose, but there's teams who have got nothing to lose and are going out and throwing everything at it. So really looking forward to a lot of the fixtures. I think obviously Rangers at home to Hibs, they would look to try and stop leaking goals. I think John Souter did say today about one clean sheet in 13. That's pretty damning for a Rangers defence. And on the face of that, they have been scoring goals, but that would be an area of the pitch where they want to stop leaking goals, because to build anything, it starts with a strong defence.
I'm just watching us, looking at us back on the live stream. Are you and I wearing the same jumper? It's a bit of an issue that we really should discuss these things before we come in. Last person I wore the same outfit as was Willie Collum. So I think I've gone up in the style world. I don't know if, Scott, I think he's a bit of a fashion icon in here, isn't he?
Yeah.
With no offence to my good friend William, of course.
No. You both look very smart, but it's the colour coordination,
You're in the middle, though. You're not kind of
breaking up.
I'm breaking up.
Well, I've got the old Codgers version on.
You've been called worse, way worse. 01419511025. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He was talking about strikers today, because Dyson Maida has won back-to-back Player of the Month. It takes a brave predictor to suggest that he's not going to add a Player of the Year to that. And Rodgers understandably praising him, but giving his thoughts overall on the striking situation.
Yeah, remarkable few months he's had, but also a remarkable season. I think that to be sat on 30 goals where primarily you've played as a winger. But he's everything that I want to see in a central striker. Yeah, it's recognising, acknowledging that here there are a lot of games to play. But yeah, but I think with Adam trains really well. He's very focused. He's had some really, really big moments for this club, and I'm really happy he's here to be one of a number of strikers, because he gives us something different. He's always looking to improve his game. His finishing's really, really good. But of course, Dyson going into the middle has meant that he's sort of played that similar sort of role to what he did with Kyogo. But it can also be the type of game that we need. But no, Adam is hungry to always show what he can do.
Stevie's first through. What do you think, Stevie?
Well, I don't often agree with you, but I agree with everything the man said.
That's
there.
A bad start to the weekend, Stevie.
Dyson Maida. Well, but I'll tell you this. This is my theory, right? If the Celtic board sell Maida from under Brendan Rodgers, I think Brendan Rodgers will see the end of his contract, and that'll be the end of it. If, however, they tie him down for another few years, I think the flip side of that coin will come into play, and Rodgers will say, right, well, they're giving me what I want, they're matching my ambitions, and I think he'll stay a bit longer. Ida is no replacement at all. We've overpaid for Ida. It was a panic buy because Kyogo went down injured his shoulder. And he's no proof that he's worth the money that we paid for him.
So do you agree with Hugh then that you just don't sell Dyson Maida? He's not in the Matt O'Reilly bracket or anything like that. You just don't think it's worth it?
Well, if we sell Maida and you're relying on Ida to bang in the goals and win the league next season, I'm sorry, it's not going to work.
Yep, Stevie's absolutely right.
So what are you going to do? You've got a choice here. You go and try and replace Maida, right, with somebody. Maida has a good chance of making the 40 goal a season club here, by the way, right?
Yep.
So is it no easier to keep Maida and replace him with a winger in the position Maida used to play?
I think there comes a point, Stevie, where the club owe the fans respect, because the fans turn up 60,000 at every home game. They buy all the merchandise, etc., etc. They are fortune makers for Celtic, and I think you have to keep faith with them. And the point you make about Brendan Rodgers is correct as well. It would symbolise a Celtic willing to go forward, to improve upon what they did in Europe as well. To let him go, and I do understand that in the past Celtic have made magnificent money from the Kieran Tierneys of this world, from Matt O'Reilly, etc. But Maeda plays in a specialised position. Ida doesn't come close. And you're right, if you're relying on Adam Ida to win you the league, then you're going to come up short. There comes along every now and then the player who is too important to let go, and right now that player for Celtic is Daizen Maeda. And in the summer, when Brendan Rodgers discusses his future with Celtic, as he is bound to do because he's entering the last season of his contract, it would symbolise a club worth staying with if you are Brendan Rodgers. If you let Daizen Maeda go, what message are you sending out to Brendan Rodgers and everyone else?
I think he is absolutely spot on. I think Maeda is so crucial to how Brendan Rodgers sees his Celtic side, and that's even Celtic side into to next season. As for Adam Maeda, for me, I think at this moment in time, I think he'll probably recognise that the attributes that Maeda does possess, it's very hard to come in and cement a regular place up front just purely from the work he does, not even getting to the amount of goals he scored. That is very, very hard to compete with, especially at a club like Celtic. I think Adam Maeda, over time, he's going to have to influence a lot more games coming off the bench, and then maybe getting the run of games he's looking for. But as long as Daizen Maeda,
but what do you make of Brendan Rodgers saying, you know, the players all know that there are enough games. Adam Maeda's got 44 appearances this season for Celtic, and granted, they won't all be starts, they won't all be long. It's not a bad number, is it?
44 no. appearances for Celtic. It's a great number, but in terms of
the minutes,
how a player thinks is, give me a start and you can settle into the game a lot quicker. That's how most players tend to think. I think if you're Adam Maeda and you're looking at Kyogo in front of you, the movement better than Adam Maeda, better finisher, and the same for Daizen Maeda, plus the pressing capabilities that he does possess. So he's just going to have to bide his time. He might need to be the guy that comes in off the bench. Well, he is that guy, but over a long
term.
I think it'll be tough to take
for him, just because there's nothing worse, no matter what industry or what walk of life, when you get your hopes up about something. He sees Kyogo going, he's thinking, well, I've got almost a free pass here to be the number one striker from now to the end of the season. And all of a sudden, Maeda comes in off the wing and is arguably better than them all.
If Adam Maeda is a truthful man, and I have no reason to doubt that he is a truthful man, he will know himself that he could not deliver what Daizen Maeda delivers. He simply could not do it.
That doesn't mean he can't have an impact on the team throughout a season. It's whether
because Maeda's bar's quite high now.
Really high.
But he's second choice.
I think it's whether down the line his age he wants to accept that that's how the type of player he's going to be at Celtic. Because for me, he's probably never going to be the number one striker.
Thank you to Stevie for kicking us off. Laurie's on the other line. What's your take on it, Laurie?
Gordon, first and foremost, thank you for permitting me to be in the programme this evening. My thoughts, Gordon, where Adam Maeda is concerned, when he was signed initially, I held his acquisition. I thought he would be an alternative to the style of play that we execute. But I'm afraid, where Adam Maeda is concerned, I think it has been a failed exercise. The reason I say that, Gordon, is he's a big physical guy. He's a big unit, to coin a phrase. However, he's stationary, he's static, he plays his back to goal. His style of play is not aligned to how Celtic play. Fast, sweeping movements going forward. I will predict, Gordon, that Adam Maeda will head back down south, and Celtic will be lucky to get half of what they paid for him, the £9 million. I've got another couple of comments to make, Gordon.
Is there any sympathy? I'm probably contradicting myself, because I'm the one that's just said he's had 44 appearances. But is there any bit of you that thinks, you know, he struggled to get a proper run because Kyogo was so good, and then like we said, just when it looked like he would get a proper run, Maeda appeared and was so good? Is there any sort of sympathy for him in that regard?
You see, my initial thought was to say that Maeda is too important to be sold. You have to break the model. I know the model's made your fortune, but you have to break the model when a unique talent comes along, and Daizen Maeda fits that description. I'm not here to denigrate Adam Maeda. I'm simply pointing out, and I think I'm factually correct, that he's not a shadow of the player that Daizen Maeda is. So he will have to up his game for Celtic, and he will get time off the bench, but he has to up his game, because Laurie on the line is absolutely correct. He's lackadaisical, and he lacks the killer touch that Daizen Maeda has. You know, even when you get to the League Cup final against Rangers and it goes to penalties, Daizen Maeda scores the one that wins the cup. He is unique. Ida has to fight for game time. And incidentally, when I say you cannot sell Maeda, I mean, if you're serious about Brendan Rodgers, you then add to Maeda and you strengthen the squad still further by looking for another striker, because you're one down. Kyogo's not there anymore.
See the... Because Brendan Rodgers said it there, of course. No, I don't think anyone's saying there's no place anywhere in the squad, you know, for Adam Ida. And Brendan Rodgers said about him giving something different. That was always the idea, you know. He's a bit more physical, not a complete out-and-out target man, lump it up to his head, but... Is the challenge for him then, when he gets the opportunities in those games, he really needs to grab it, really needs to show that. So the best example, yes, everyone said, was Kilmarnock away when Celtic wrapped up the title last season. Killy, they're hard to play, it's on that pitch, and he was unbelievable, yeah, that night. But it feels like maybe this season, even when he's been given the nod in that type of game where he's supposed to be the different option, it's maybe not quite worked to that level.
Not to that level. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think with the opportunities comes a bit more pressure, because you know, if I don't do it, yeah, fans are on your case. You're obviously competing with guys like Maeda and Kyogo, obviously, early in the season. So every time you do step on the park, there's probably a little more added pressure, because, and you've only got that little window to come on and do something that maybe catch fire and excite the fans. I think for him, because of his physical attributes, every time he comes on the park, fans are expecting him to throw people about. Every time the ball comes up to him, he has to hold every single ball up. It's not as easy as that. Sometimes the quality come up to him isn't as good. So I do think it's microscopic with Adam Ida when he does come on, for whether that's 15, 20 minutes. And if it doesn't go to plan or he doesn't impact the game, then he's under pressure straight away.
He set a high bar, and yeah, you're correct, Gordon, in what you say. Kilmarnock, the night the league was won, the cup final, Scottish Cup final, he scores the winner. But the bar has dropped down again. The fans need to see the guy who was on loan last season, because he hasn't come back yet.
Forgive me, Laurie, I need to take this break. I know you had other points. We'll do it some other time. 01419511025. Give us a call. We'll speak next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Friday night, sun is shining. Looking forward to the games tomorrow. It's all happening. So let's bring in Cameron, who's going to join Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans on the show. How are you, Cameron?
Not bad, gents. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. What are you thinking tonight?
I just want to bring some balance to this argument about Adam Ida. I feel like he's getting such a hard time here. I mean, we can't all be on top form all the time. Hugh Keevans is prime evidence of that.
I agree.
I think we suffer from a sort of a short-term memory loss as a Celtic support. I mean, I see Adam each week when he comes on, and you know, he's coming on later on in the games. You said he had 44 appearances this season. I'd love to know how many minutes he's had. And he comes on and he tries his best, and he's snatching at chances, and it's a shame for him. And I don't think, you know, Hugh said that Ida was instrumental. Maeda's instrumental. I don't think Maeda was instrumental in the first season that he came, or even the second season, but he's really came on under Rodgers, and I just think Ida just needs, everybody needs to calm down and give Ida a chance.
Could be a fair point, Hugh. We do, you know, write everyone off quite quickly.
Yeah, of course. You know, but my initial point was about Maeda being too important to be sold, about breaking the player trading model, because here you have a unique talent. I didn't start the programme with any intention of diminishing Adam Ida's reputation, but by comparison, he's not the player that Daizen Maeda is, and therefore he is on the bench, and he comes off the bench, whether it's to replace Daizen Maeda or anybody else. That's the only point I'm making, that Daizen Maeda, first and foremost, has to be, going forward, part of Celtic. And in the summer, when Brendan Rodgers is looking for Celtic to have a very good transfer window, while he himself negotiates his future with the club, I think Daizen Maeda has to be added to by another striker. I think Celtic need to bring another one in, because once upon a time there was Ida, Kyogo, Maeda. Now there's Maeda, Ida, no Kyogo. There's a vacancy.
Do you think, in just in hypothetically, Cameron, Adam Ida could still at some point be Celtic's number one striker?
I mean, I'd love Adam Ida to be a huge success. I'd love any player that comes through the doors at Celtic to be a great success. I mean, we've just got to look at the facts that, you know, Adam's in his early 20s. You know, without Adam Ida last year, we don't win a double. Like, he was instrumental in the push for silverware last year. And I think with Rodgers, I'd love Rodgers to stay, by the way. That's another point beyond his current contract. But with the coaching there and his abilities that he's got, he's quite raw still. You know, he's tall, he's physical, he scores different kinds of goals. So I think with the right coaching and things like that, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe the comparison to Maeda is harsh, because if on one breath we're saying he's the runaway best player in the country,
yeah.
So yeah, that is the environment. You know, Adam Ida has to compete in, but maybe it's a bit unfair. He's got 15 goals this season. I think one of them is for Ireland, which was a crucial goal last time out against Bulgaria. That's not a bad total, is it? If we're talking, Cameron asked about the minutes there. I think I got my calculator out and I'm a bit worried that I've got it wrong. So correct me, but I think he probably averages about 40 minutes a game if you were to divide it all up. Is that a bad return?
It's not a bad return, but I think there could be more in there. I think ultimately you have to compare it to Maeda because he is the number one striker at this moment in time for Adam Ida. As Cameron touches on there, he thinks he's still raw and obviously snatch at things. That's what I touched on with the previous caller coming on with the 10-20 minutes to go in games. There is a pressure on you to impact because you're trying to keep up with someone who's delivering week in, week out. In Maeda, I think for Adam Ida personally, he has to be playing games to and more minutes to improve. There's no question of that. We see it time and time again at either of the clubs, whether it's Celtic or Rangers, where they have to move on to then develop, then further down the line they say, why didn't he get that opportunity at Celtic or Rangers? That's the problem. Maeda is a better footballer. He offers more to the team at this moment in time. So for me, long term, I think Adam Ida will have to move away to get regular football, and because there's no question Celtic will be adding quality in that department come summer again.
Two of Ida's goals were against Leeds United at Elland Road in the Champions League.
Aston Villa. You're getting your big English clubs mixed up.
Yeah, Aston Villa, big pardon.
He was excellent that night.
And that night, Scott, he showed what he is capable of. Quite simply, and it's not designed to run down the player in any way, quite simply, he has to do it more often. He has to get his finger out.
Thank you to Cameron. Always good to balance things up for two Celtic fans. A bit unsure about the money spent and so on. Cameron providing some balance, which is all good. So give us a call, please. 01419511025 is the number. If you would rather tweet, you can do that as well at Clyde SSB. Paul is in Paisley. How's it going, Paul?
Hi, not bad. Sunny week this week, so not enjoying it.
What are you thinking tonight then?
Two points. I kind of suppose not on topic now, but I just want to get your thoughts on it.
That's
and one in particular for you, because I know he talks about being vintage and everything else. So
I am very vintage.
Aye. So right, I'll tell you. Do you want both questions or do you want me to start?
One at a time. You take it away.
Right. So first one is Niels Koppen seems to have escaped the Clermont regime, right? And I actually think he's got a lot to answer for, because Robin Proper hasn't been a great signing. And who else? The guy, where's Oscar Cortes instead of where's Wally? You don't see him about. And the guy, Rafael Fernandez, when in fact we could have probably got a stopgap signing, Nikola Katic, who I think would have been a better shout. Niels Koppen, going back to my point, what's his role in all that? Like, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, I actually think he's actually got promoted for incompetence in my view. So that's my first question. I don't know you guys.
Well, he's a technical director now, isn't he, Scott? He used to be the head of recruitment or director of recruitment, whatever it was. Which obviously, you know, the structure of modern clubs, he sits above that. So just because Philippe Clement gets emptied out, in theory, Niels Koppen should be involved in the process of recruiting the next guy. You know, the problem is everything's muddied with Rangers because we don't know what the ownership model looks like. Yeah. We don't. But as things stand, you know, he sits above that. The idea being that you're supposed to have continuity. That's the point. Paul's right. For a start, it's extra on Neil Scoppin because he used to be in charge of recruitment. And see, when people talk technical director, sporting director, they do loads. But all fans are interested in is do the signings work, really.
Yeah. Well, I think first and foremost, if you were to start chopping them the way you do with managers, then long term that ain't good for any club. I think in terms of the specific players that Paul's mentioned there, yes, they haven't hit the ground running by any stretch of the imagination. They have been disappointing. There's been opportunities for all players to come in and get regular game time and do well, and they just haven't. It's back to the same old guys in terms of Balogun coming in. He's for me, far better player than the ones mentioned. So as for Oscar Cortez, it's injuries after injuries. That's never good, especially for a guy who's obviously had been in charge of the recruitment. We're back to square one with Rangers every summer. As it looks like to me, is they need to find gems who come in and hit the ground running, or like player after player, they're going to come under a lot of pressure if they don't get off to a good start. So yes, I think a lot has to land at his doorstep, but we ain't going to see any change there.
It's funny, sorry Hugh, that Paul mentioned his name, because in fairness, time's now passed, things have become more important than this. You know, there's been managerial changes at Barry Ferguson, there's an ownership, so this is way down Rangers' list of issues. But see, when you think back, every club wants to improve in January. Rangers needed to improve in January. They signed one guy in Rafael Fernandez who's played 70 minutes.
Yeah.
It's incredible to think that was the one signing. Yeah. You would genuinely be forgiven for forgetting who he is or where he is. Or
I'd actually forgotten about Neil Scoppin until Paul raised the subject. All things relative to Rangers are up in the air, firmly up in the air. And I start at Barry Ferguson, Billy Dodds, Neil McCann, Alan McGregor, Neil Scoppin, everything and everyone has an unpredictable future, because none of us have the foggiest idea how Andrew Kavanagh sees any of this and the 49ers enterprises. And until such time as the takeover is complete and Mr. Kavanagh assumes control, then whether it's Neil Scoppin or anybody else, it's very, very hard to discuss it. I would say in Neil Scoppin's favour, there must have been good ones in among the bad ones. Cortez is a particularly unfortunate case because there's a £4.5 million liability there. They have to pay that. They are legally obliged to pay that. In the case of Vaslav Cherny, there's a pretty tall fee. I don't know how tall, but there's a big number there before Vaslav Cherny can become a Rangers player. So there you have £10, £11 million conundrum on your hands. And none of us know how any of this is resolved until the deal is done and Andrew Kavanagh is here.
There is going to be an unseen side to the work that technical directors and so on do, Paul, but you think as part of new ownership, you'd like to see that full thing, full structure change?
I totally agree with the guys are saying that the pressing matter is we need to get the takeover done and Barry Ferguson and all that stuff. But I think I just feel Neil Scoppin's escaped a bit of the fire line there, to be honest. It's went to the manager, which it always will do. But I mean, I just feel it's like you've been promoted out of incompetence. Fair enough. Cherny's got a good shout, but I couldn't really name a lot of players that Neil Scoppin for part of his job is responsible to highlight and get. But look, that's leading on to my second point. So, going back to like Hughes' days, right, and I kind of what Hughes' point in this, it was a comment I think I read about McCoist a few, I don't know if it was in an article or something, and he basically said Walter Smith shared with him a nugget of advice, and the nugget of advice was when you buy a player, look for three key ingredients. What's their attendance like? What's their reliability like? And what's their injury? Their kind of injury, kind of coldness. And I remember back in the day when Rangers, I think you might remember, you and Chester, I think was the chief scout with Rangers.
And
I think maybe I'm too naive, but I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I just feel in the 21st century we talk about data analytics and methods and algorithms and all that kind of stuff. Why can we not simply, why do we need a director of recruitment? Why do we need all these backroom people that look into players? And in fact, Rangers were successful years ago with Ewan Chester at getting players like, you know, you could, Brian Laudrup and all these types of people before the time of data analytics. Why do we waste all that money when in fact we've been worse off over the years with injury prone players like Kem Arif and whatnot, and all these players like Ruth did a turn for Rangers and whatnot, but we've had serious issues with injuries over the years.
Surely the difference though, Paul, is when Rangers were doing that at that time, that's how everybody did it. You do it like that now, you're behind everybody. Yes, you can rhyme off, this player didn't work at Rangers, that player didn't work, but if Brighton are doing it and Union Saint-Gilloise are doing it and Alkmaar and all these teams that have got unbelievable models that really you should aspire to, you come as far away from that as possible, you're miles behind, aren't you? You're left just because it worked.
But my point is, why? I'm asking you guys here, why do we need in this time? Why are we getting
they're trying
to football?
That's what I'm saying. That's what top clubs do, isn't it? And then there's models that you try and be that ultimately.
The recruitment one's so important because they try and find a certain type of player in a certain wage bracket that doesn't. Like back in the day when you're getting loud, they're getting paid fortunes compared to some of the teams in England at that time. Now you have everything then comes down to money. The global football, team after team, their revenues are incredible all over the world, especially some of the big clubs. But for Rangers, in terms of what they want to work at, in terms of the players they want to bring in and sell on, you have to have a recruitment team. You have to have guys behind the scenes looking at players all across the world who they think they can get in at a decent price. And then it's the job of the manager to get the best out of them. That's the whole process of a manager, head of recruitment, and above that. It's not the way it was maybe 20 years ago where you all know who the best players were. If you get the most amount of money, you'd have a chance of getting them.
Paul, I share your love of the past, like many people, but the game has evolved. I watched Ange Postecoglou on television last night at the end of his tenor.
He had a tough night.
Shouting about VAR is killing the game. And, you know, it's maybe his players that are killing him. But the game has evolved and there are layers. Within clubs, there are layers. CEOs, director of football, this, that, the other. The days of me walking in the front door at Ibrox and Walter's coming out there with a towel round his waist and saying, Shug, what are you doing here? it's gone. I wouldn't get in the front door now. There'd be 47 PR people to say, who are you and what do you want? So it's just the way the game has gone.
Thank you very much to Paul 01419511025. And plenty more time. Get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
Step around Scotland for Cash for Kids Day.
Yes, less than a month away until Cash for Kids Day, Thursday the 1st of May this year. We're going to step around Scotland with our mates at 101 convenience stores. And to cover that distance, we're going to walk 16 million steps. Now, clearly, Hugh Keevans can't do that alone. That is where you come in. So there are plenty of ways you can get involved. One of the easiest is probably if you sign up for the Kilt Walk later this month, the 26th and 27th. Still a few spots available, and we're raising money to make sure children don't go hungry during the school holidays. So sign up at Clyde1.com. Let's step together. Cash for Kids Day is proudly supported by 101 convenience stores.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here. There's no one else you'd rather spend your Friday night with. I know that. Scott Allen's here as well. And you can give us a call on 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit more from some of the managers doing the media rounds today. Brendan Rodgers, one of them. He says, like many people this week, he would like to see the Premiership include more teams if reconstruction plans were to go ahead.
Someone mentioned the possibility of it getting smaller or increasing. I certainly don't think it needs to get smaller. If it goes anyway, I think there's still a notion for me that we could bring a few more teams into the league. Clearly there's maybe issues around TV revenue, money, or whatever way that would look like, and there may be a challenge to that. But I think from a football perspective, I always felt the increase in the league would help. If I had choice, of course, you would play a team home and away, and that would be that. But the league is the way it is at the moment. It's nice that the certain items of the game being looked at, but at the moment it is what it is, and we have to deal with that.
I thought it was refreshing, Hugh, to hear you kick off the show and say, do you know what, I quite like it the way it is, and we don't need to change.
Because I stick by
you haven't. Clearly an unfair reputation of thinking everything's rubbish. So you've surprised everybody.
No, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed last Saturday's programme, and we're having fun with Joe and Scunthorpe, and you know, the Celtic Hearts game, and then along came this unbelievable spectacle at Dens Park, 7-goal thriller, and you know, everywhere I look, Derek McInnes coming under a bit of pressure at Kilmarnock, Stephen Robinson trying to do great things with St Mirren, Motherwell get their new manager in, and they're Motherwell are vying for top six with St Mirren, and down at the bottom you get Dundee and Kilmarnock. The irony of it all, Derek McInnes against his old pal Tony Docherty. Are St Johnston doomed already? Yes. So everywhere I look I see good things. I know it's been a nightmare of a season for Rangers, but that is part of it as well. Somebody's going to have a nightmare. Daizen Maeda is going to be heaven sent for Celtic. And everywhere I look, I'm enjoying it all. David Gray's revival at Easter Road, the fight with Hearts, derby matches, the great derby matches we've had. I just look at it and think, why are you touching this?
Well, they might not. That's the thing. They might not. It's a high bar to get any change voted through. Let's bring in Chris, who's an heir. How are you, Chris?
I'm not too bad, Gordon. Thanks. How are we doing, Scott?
You? All good here. Good to have you, Chris. What are you thinking?
My point is, the number of teams in the league, don't think it really matters. I don't want it to go to 10 because it's not enough. My problem with the league is the playoff system. It's such a closed shop to try and get into it. And it's so much in favour of the league above. And I don't mean that just the Premier League, the Championship, League One. I think it should just be two up, two down, and have more of a rotation of teams coming in. And I think that would make it more interesting.
Do you think the playoffs is good drama, though?
It is, but you can have drama in the last game of the season if you're playing to stay up.
You're saying it's weighed in favour of the team in the Premiership, but think back to Partick Thistle going to Dingwall, and they went there with a considerable lead, and they shot themselves in the foot.
They lost. It is weighted in favour of the Premiership.
I'm on the Hibs.
Can we meet halfway though? Because I don't to respectfully disagree with Chris. I think you take the playoffs have been brilliant, so I think taking them out would be a bit strange. However, that doesn't mean Chris is wrong. If you're saying it's more of a closed shop or it's too weighted, why not, if you're looking for one little tweak to come along, why not just change the format of the playoffs? So if you're 11th, you just go in with the rest. You know what I mean? So 11th would play 4th. Yeah, so right now Dundee would play Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
Livy would play Ayr. The two winners play and on you go, rather than Dundee getting to just wait for the winner from the Championship to come and meet them. That seems like a small tweak that would improve things. Yeah. It wouldn't be drastic. However, Turkey's voting for Christmas. If you're Dundee, you voting for that just now?
No. But you know, even the fact that four teams from the Championship are involved, it provides a drama within a drama.
Yeah.
Because you have to get to the top four. Partick Thistle, until they appointed the Maryhill Mourinho, otherwise known as Mark Wilson, were in danger of not making the top four. And for Thistle not to have made the top four would have been a very bad thing in their eyes, in the eyes of their supporters. So there is a drama within a drama to get to the major drama, which is the playoff final.
So Chris, you said the core point, because it's a good point you make, but I think the core argument just now is this number of teams. You actually don't think 12 is terrible, even though you're out with it just now?
I don't think it's terrible. It shouldn't be 10. 10's just a non-starter, I don't think. Ideal scenario, I would make it 16. But I don't think 12's terrible at the minute.
No, it's not at all.
What do you think, Scott?
I think I would like to see some more teams in it. I think just going down the route in terms of seeing more young players of our own young players coming through the academies, getting a bit of opportunity, I think that would help it to an extent. I think at the same time, enjoy the playoffs. I think what you said, Gordon, about changing the format could be interesting. I think when they were looking at it at the time, they were saying the teams obviously in the top four were obviously coming to the back of a good season, and obviously at this moment in time it would be Dundee, could be struggling for confidence, and having that bit of time waiting for the game isn't always a good thing as well in terms of what favour it's stacked in. But for me, I would like to see more teams in the top league.
Would two more satisfy you?
Satisfy me, but I think I'd like to go for the 16.
We got the quality to sustain that, do you think, Hugh?
No. I'm very much afraid that 16 is a step too far. And I also wonder about this notion that, they'll all start playing young boys. No, they won't. Because they'll be, first and foremost, intent on maintaining their own survival, whether it's a 12-team league, 14-team league, or 16. Your first inclination will be,
but that middle, that
make sure
middle
we stay in this.
That middle of the table group, they could be safe for 5 weeks left of the season.
A trade-off then, isn't it? Because some people would say breeding ground for young players. Other people would say meaningless games. Don't really have any in the current format.
Not for a young kid wanting to make a career in the
game. I mean for competition.
Yeah, for competition, yeah. But listen, that's my opinion on it. I think it does give you that opportunity too if you were one of those sides who were safe with a bit of time left in the season.
I hate that grammatically grotesque expression, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, well, I can see your point. Who thought Hugh Evans was the optimist in amongst all this to tell us everything's fine? You don't need to complain. It's quite remarkable. He's full of surprises. Thank you to Chris, though. I think you make some fair points. Chris, who's an Ayr United fan, which is very, very big of him, because he could have come on and demanded that it's bigger so that his team can be part of it, but he doesn't think 12 is terrible.
They're right in the drama within the drama.
Absolutely. Speaking of drama, a playoff of sorts of our own coming up. Let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, the final Beat the Pundit of the week. What a way to round things off. We even, the best part of last night's Beat the Pundit was the 2-year-old in the background. Did you hear him?
Yeah.
He was magnificent.
Nate.
He was shouting hi and bye, and he was doing all sorts to support his dad, who beat Gordon DL with what? Honestly, did you hear him?
No, I've not
heard
that.
Who's Rangers' current number three? The answer's Yilmaz.
Yeah.
He said Billy Dodds because he thought I meant like coach. It was one of my favourites of all time. Hopefully none of you make similar mistakes tonight. Give us a call before 7 o'clock if you want to play. So 0141 951 1025 and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Evans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind tonight. Just before the break, we went back on the week's big talking point on league reconstruction. But before that, we heard from Brendan Rodgers on Daizen Maeda. He's a player of the month. We had a bit of a debate about how the striking department looks and what the future is like for Adam Ida, etc. What about the games themselves tomorrow? Good old Friday night debate about who'll win and who'll play what formation and what team and so on. Hibs going to Ibrox tomorrow looks like an absolute cracker. So what are you thinking there, Rangers fans? Give us a call and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's see what Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are capable of. You're looking for your 19th win of the season, apparently, Hugh Evans, whatever that means. And Scott, you can ruin one elderly gentleman's weekend because you'll go above Gordon DL in the rankings if you win tonight. Dylan's in Saltcoats. How's it going, Dylan?
All right.
First time?
Aye.
Good. Fancy your chances?
We'll see how it goes.
Let's find out. Heads it will be tails it will be Scott Allen. And it is tails. Scott Allen up against Dylan from Saltcoats. So let's see what Scott's got in his ear. We'll change it. Don't listen to me. Give him something else nice and loud. And Dylan, that means he can't hear you, which is part of the drama. So 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And just pass if you don't know the answer, okay? Good man. 30 seconds then. Going on the clock. And your time starts now. Which Edinburgh team are said to be the talk of the toon?
Hearts.
Who's got more clean sheets in the league this season, Craig Gordon or Robbie McCrory?
Craig Gordon.
How many points separate Hibs and Aberdeen in the table?
Six.
Which SPFL club are nicknamed the Beanos?
Pass.
Who managed Scotland at the 1986 World Cup?
Betty Volk.
Who's the only English side Derek McInnes has managed?
Bristol.
Okay, let's bring back Scott Allen. Can you hear us?
Bit of Bon Jovi there.
Yeah.
The first gig I ever went to.
At Hampden?
No, it was at the SECC with my dad. I was really young.
Yeah, I went once when I was young, weirdly, to Hampden, I'm sure it was. I don't even really know why. Not like, I'm not sure I would go again. It was all right, though.
Even I like John Bon Jovi. It comes across as
what
a good guy.
What song are you getting?
Living on a prayer.
Well, let's see if that's representative of your Beat the Pundit hopes tonight. 30 seconds on the clock, Scott Allen, and your time starts now. Which Edinburgh team are said to be the talk of the toon?
Hearts.
Who's got more clean sheets in the league this season, Craig Gordon or Robbie McCrory?
Craig Gordon.
How many points separate Hibs and Aberdeen in the table?
One. Two.
Which SPFL club are nicknamed the Beanos?
Pass.
Who managed Scotland at the 86 World Cup?
Alex Ferguson.
Who's the only English team that Derek McInnes managed?
West Brom. Bristol City.
What do you think, Dylan?
Oh, that's close, man.
Oh, it's close. It's close.
I don't know why I said that for the Scotland one.
Listen, you had to guess something, so let's find out how we go. The talk of the toon.
Boys in maroon are the talk of the toon.
It's Hearts.
I thought you were going to blow it there.
I know. With that one. Both of you.
After that, the Derek McInnes one's annoyed me.
Hearts one each. Craig Gordon has three more clean sheets than Robbie McCrory, so you both get that as well. Two all. Now, remind me here. What did you say on the? What did he say on the points?
One.
Then changed it to two.
So you take
then
the
changed
answer.
It back to one.
Take the first answer.
I'm so annoyed, Dylan, because I do need to take his first answer. So he's kind of accidentally got that one right. It is 1 point, and he goes one in front of you. I know. The Beanos, Hugh.
Stirling Albion.
Albion. Anyway, Scott Allen still leads by one. The 1986 World Cup was Sir Alex Ferguson. Scott Allen leads by two. But Dylan had hung in there. He got more questions as well, and he knew that it was Bristol City for Derek McInnes. But that's where Dylan finished. You've beat him by Dylan. That was a good game. I thought you did pretty well.
Well done, Scott.
Are you a young man, Dylan? You sound quite young.
I know.
26.
Ah, that 1986 question. I mean, he's young as well, but still, the 1986, a bit before your time.
That's a shocking guess, but...
Well, yeah, it was never Bertie Vokes, was it? To be fair.
Bertie Vokes.
You're desperate at that point. Who's your team, Dylan?
Rangers.
What are you thinking of the visit of Hibs tomorrow?
I could go either way. You know, Hibs are playing well in it, so we'll see. But... just Rob, they've been playing poor at home recently, so hopefully they can go out there and Barry can get a result for us.
Is this the first one at home since Motherwell?
Yeah, because I mean, it's a dramatic stat unless you look. Barry Ferguson's not won yet at Ibrox. He's not played a lot. He played Fenerbahce and Motherwell, but you know, that's what's you're up for grabs tomorrow. First Ibrox win.
15 unbeaten Hibs for David Gray. You know, he's done so well. To be bottom of the league and to be where he is now in third place is magnificent. But people talk about statement results. For me, that would be his. To beat Rangers at Ibrox, that would be the statement result. He beat Celtic at Easter Road and got away with one because of VAR. But if he were to win there tomorrow, statement result for him.
I mean, be fair, I think those are statement results. He's had a few. You look at, it's two Edinburgh derbies, isn't it? One at home, one away. Gone to, but I'd take Hugh's point. It's the next step because that's all done, and that's great and well done, and it's banked. Can you now go to Glasgow and get a result? If you could do that, and that 15 becomes 16, that would be a remarkable run, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's.
I mean, it already is, but
yeah, already is first and foremost. But that would put Hibs in a really good position. I think they've been very consistent over the 15 games. I think they've lost, obviously, Nicky Cadden was out for injury. He's not been missed as much as we maybe thought he would. I think he might be back for the weekend.
I think getting closer, I think David Gray said. Yeah.
Getting closer, but to go to Ibrox and get a win there, it isn't easy. I think Rangers know how important this home form and how big this game is for them tomorrow, and especially as a coaching staff. So I think it'll be a fantastic game tomorrow.
Do you think they're still, Dylan, trying to find what the best solution is? Because sometimes Rangers start at three at the back and then change to four during the game, and then that does work, but then they'll maybe start one, you know, and then change back the other way. Still trying to find out what's best.
If we play our home games on a Thursday, then we'll be alright.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, Scott, because we saw a bit of everything, you know, Dundee last week where, yeah, you can praise the fact that Rangers won the game. It'll always be the most important thing. But again, it's that maybe having to tweak it within a game, which is admirable as well. But
it's admirable, but you do not set up as a
You don't do it every game, do you?
No, of
it's
course
like,
not.
It's nice and flexible. You do it once or twice, but if you do it every week, then you know, it's not ideal.
It's not ideal because for the week ahead, when you're planning for a game, you don't plan to have to change the shape to what you start with it at half time in a game. I think that was the biggest question mark for me, was what Rangers were going to do against Dundee in terms of the shape he went with, the what's kind of gave him the results over the last few weeks. But at Ibrox, it's a different kettle of fish. Rangers have to be in the front foot. They have to start the game well tomorrow.
Have to defend properly.
They have to defend.
After last week's shambles.
Yeah, well, let's hear from John Souter on that topic. He was actually speaking about it as well, obviously, because I remember we had a call, I think probably last Friday, saying that they felt Dundee would be fine because actually now the first choice defence is there. They're all available. Yeah. My goodness, it didn't quite pan out that way. But yeah, John Souter says keeping just one clean sheet in the last 13 isn't good enough. He says they're keen to improve that before the end of the season.
Yeah, obviously a lot needs to improve from how we started the game, conceding the goals we did. Obviously it's good that we came back and scored the goals, but we shouldn't need 4 goals to win a game. So yeah, it's something we've been looking at and something that we have to improve. Yeah, well obviously if we concede that we did at the weekend, the goals that we give away, it's going to be harder and it puts more pressure on us to score 3-4 goals, which we shouldn't need to win a game. And obviously everyone has spoken about the character it takes to come back, which it does, but we shouldn't be giving ourselves that mountain to climb in games. You want to keep clean sheets as a defender, and that's not good enough, especially here. So it's something we need to get back to keeping clean sheets from now to the end of the season.
He's not responsible for all 13 because he has been injured, as we said. But you know, been back in. What do you think? What is the best setup for Rangers then in these games? Because everybody keeps changing their mind.
Depends on the opposition.
So tomorrow then, specifically.
Tomorrow, I think you see Hibs getting after Rangers from the start. I think Rangers will play a 4 tomorrow. I think that first 20 minutes is going to be key for Rangers to see how they settle, because you can't hide away from the fact they just haven't been starting games well enough. And
back to this round and round argument that we have then, does that in a roundabout way suit Rangers? We keep saying it. They say that the best performances come against the better teams, because those better teams want to play a bit more and that leaves space for Rangers. That's always been the way. So the Hibs now start creeping into that bracket because they're having such a good run.
Yeah, I think they do. I think Hibs will look to get after them from the get-go. They'll sense that Rangers haven't started games well. I know David Gray's won at Ibrox a few times, and it was part of that. So I know how he is as a guy. I think he'll think, and what we were told at the time is you can quiet that Ibrox crowd as quick as you can, then it'll put more pressure on the player. So I think that's how Hibs will see it. They'll look to get the Ibrox support on the Rangers' backs, and as long as they're not playing well. And that will come from how Hibs start the game. But Rangers have to have the answers for that tomorrow.
Yeah. Rangers, you know, they need to approach Athletic Bilbao in a positive frame of mind.
Yeah.
And that they need to win at Ibrox tomorrow. But who among us can tell what's going to happen? I mean, the last time they played Hibs at Easter Road, it was 3-3. And once again, they were all over the place and the goalkeepers flapping at everything. And, you know, Butland last week at Dundee, another one.
On Saturday in that game, nobody seen that coming again.
No.
And that's the volume of many times we've said that this season is incredible.
And the latest edition of the Cyril Dessers show.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
But I know that he was condemned. 12 shots at goal. It must be the sunshine. I'm feeling positive. He scored the winning goal at the end of it all. You know, I watched Ali McCoys go through a stellar career and miss chance after chance, but always there to have another goal and score another goal. I'm not comparing Ali McCoys to Cyril Dessers, or the other way around. I'm simply saying that he gets a hard time, but I think his numbers are better than his reputation.
Yeah, I think his numbers are obviously really good in terms of a Rangers striker, but I think it's the sheer amount of volume of chances he does miss. He could be on so much more. I think if you asked him personally, he'd be disappointed by a lot of ones that he passed up at the weekend. But then, funnily enough, as you touched on, the one he scores to claim the win for Rangers, that was the first time he showed a bit of finesse in the finishing and manages to take all 3 points for Rangers. But it shouldn't get to that. There's ones there he's got to be scoring for me.
And of course, the best thing, the most famous thing about Rangers Hibs games at Ibrox will always be the Scott Allen pass, won't it?
Yeah.
Everybody,
I can't believe you've just done it.
It must be. What's the, how many years ago now? Maybe about 6 years ago.
Maybe, yeah. Potentially, aye.
What was the score again?
I don't know.
6-1
2-1 when I came off.
But you'll always have the pass, even if it was 6-1. Who was in the end of it?
Carol Horgan.
There you go. Because there are not many goals that the pass is more memorable than the goal. I couldn't have told you who scored it.
It's because Gerrard spoke about it after the game.
There you go. He's still got, good a, enough poster, for Gerrard. He's got a poster of it on his wall. Listen, he's got the bit at the bottom scrubbed out though, where it was 6-1.
Did you read his quote about the Rangers job this morning? No, they asked Stevie Gerrard if you come back. I'm not interested in being in football at the moment. I'm happy to go into golf and going down the boozer.
That's what he says though.
Keep that time out.
Yeah,
I think he would be interested, wouldn't he? Why would you not be? Is it work?
Out of work with a fortune in his back pocket.
They're all daft. That's the thing. They all get, look at them at any level of the game. If you were any of those guys, why would you even go in it in the first place? But they can't help themselves. Yeah. Would you take Steven Gerrard back, Dylan?
I don't know. It's quite a touchy subject. That
can't quite forgive him.
No chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you went from a don't know to no chance, so that was quite
the Celtic
conclusion.
Fans, or some of them, wouldn't forgive Brendan Rodgers. Now they'd be desperate to keep him.
Good point. Thank you to Dylan for taking part tonight. Dylan and Salt Coats, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. If you want to get in touch, please do. Building up to the games tomorrow should be a cracker. What have you liked most about your former team recently? What gives Hibs the best chance of getting something tomorrow?
Well, I think up until Nicky Gadden get injured, the two attacking fullbacks, the two brothers have been excellent for Hibs. I think Triantis in the midfield has made a huge difference to them. Obviously, having Martin Boyle in a higher position where you can actually use his strengths. And I remember playing with Martin Boyle, you can just help a ball into an area, and because he has that raw pace, he can always cause defences problems. So I just feel that David Gray, obviously changing to the back three, has suited them down to a tee. And the players that they brought in January have definitely made a difference. But winning and not losing games and having clean sheet just adds to that momentum. So, I think Hibs will get after Rangers for tomorrow. Rangers are going to have to perform to get a win.
The first manager ever, a Hibs manager, to win three Manager of the Months in a single season.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Good accolade, isn't it?
It's excellent.
Not a half.
I think Tony Mowbray got three, but split over two seasons, so... There you go.
Right, so
bottom in December, Hugh.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story. A transformation is a word that doesn't even seem to do it justice.
Great temperament in front of the camera.
Yeah. Dull, you mean?
Do you think he's dull?
Well, yeah.
Calm, I think, is what it is.
Dull.
Having to drive down to Hibs training ground for
Get Lenny back there.
For 9 o'clock this morning to interview him was not great. Why is it so far away? See, sorry to people in the East. Why is Hibs training ground so far away? Unacceptably far.
Was it windy?
Of course it was windy. It's always windy. How long did you commute from here? From the West?
Yes. So an hour 40 minimum on a good day. Bypass.
Why did you just go and live in Edinburgh?
Just didn't want to.
It's as good a reason as any.
Yeah. I've got a castle. Could have hired that.
Miles away, honestly. Far too far. I suppose, you know what's interesting about it is because, like, you know, Hibs started bad and got good, and then Aberdeen started good and got bad, and then have bounced back a little bit.
And that's why you shouldn't change the 12 team league.
I feel like everybody now expects Hibs to finish third. Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be safe. And they may well still do, but tomorrow it could conceivably be back to Aberdeen. They've got, you know, they go to Ross County. They would fancy that as much as we're bumming up Hibs' chances. They go to Ibrox, and you know, on paper it's a harder fixture. Maybe Jimmy Tilleen's sneaking up there.
Well,
back up there.
Yeah, but at the same time, you couldn't categorically state anything about Aberdeen because they blow hot and cold.
I thought they were a lot better against Motherwell last week. That looked like
4-1 is a fairly convincing score,
even within the game.
See, if David Gray finishes third with Hibs for where they were at December, does he get a Manager of the Year nomination for you?
It's always the timing, isn't it?
He'll get a nomination, but he won't get the award. He's dull.
He's dull. That's a bit harsh.
I wouldn't go that far. I think he's just balanced. Just never, what they say, don't get too high, don't get too low.
Balanced is a euphemism for dull.
Anyway, right, 01419511025. Give us a call, no matter what it is. If you think it's something different that you want to hear discussed tonight, then phone right now and we'll do our very best to get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, so it's Scott Allen. Why not give us a call? Join in the discussion ahead of a big weekend of Scottish football action across the divisions. Really, it's getting really tight, and things to be won and lost. Scotland Women about to take on Germany in the Women's Nations League at Tannadice tonight as well. Let me give you a full-time teaser before we bring in Johnny on the line very quickly. Thank you to the Crazy Pony for sending this in. I have to make an executive decision here though. With no offence to you two, I think this is too hard. Right? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to chop it. Yeah, take an axe to it. For the current top six clubs, can you name the top goal scorer for each of those clubs the last time the league had 10 teams? So for each of the top six currently, so it's the big city clubs at the moment, right? Uh-huh. Pretty much. Don't fall out with me, Dundee fans, you know what I mean? Can you name the top goal scorer for each of those clubs the last time the league had 10 teams? So basically, Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, Dundee United.
Joe Robertson.
Who was the top scorer for all of those teams?
And when was the last time we had 10 teams?
Around the turn of the century, that sort of time.
Okay. Right, Martin O'Neill, Celtic.
Henrik Larsson. Just before.
Well, just before Henrik. Yeah. Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
So before Larsson?
Henrik Larsson would have been a teammate of this guy, I think, but just that slight.
Harold Brattback.
Nope.
Ooh.
I mean, I was going to say an easy one, but, you know, well known Celtic striker, very good. Wasn't there as long as.
Højdonk?
No, after that.
Gary Hooper.
No. Whoa. You know that when you see you're getting hot and you're getting cold. That was a freezing answer.
Yeah.
George Cadetti.
But after that. Just, you need to find that sweet spot. Went on to have a good career in England.
Mark Viduka.
Yes. Mark Viduka. Okay, it's a slow start, not going to lie. Any others? Who would Rangers' top scorer be around that time?
Rod Wallace?
Nope. Not necessarily.
Michael Moles?
Not necessarily an out and out striker. 17 goals, apparently, according to the Crazy Pony.
Lovenkranz?
No, before that. Not maybe. Okay, listen, I'll give you some thinking time because, my goodness, you are going need it. That is tough. Well, the Crazy Pony wanted you to do it for all 12 teams.
Wow.
The 10 that he's got? Anyway, he's got a lot more than what I've asked for you. Johnny's on the line. How are you, Johnny?
I'm very well. How are you doing, guys?
Good. Yeah, good. What are you thinking tonight?
Just on the sort of topic of the league reconstruction, and basically you guys are saying it needs to kind of tick a few boxes in order for clubs to vote for it in the first instance. And from a TV point of view, obviously, I think you need to have the four sort of Celtic and Rangers games. From my point of view, what would be good if you're looking to extend the league would be a 14-team league, and you'd play each other twice, home and away, and then do a top six and a bottom eight, and then you play each other home and away again. So from that point of view, it takes away this sort of horrible teams playing two at home and one away just now, with the 12-team league and the split with only sort of one game after it. And it also means that there's only 36 games that the top six would play.
Is that the same as what they do in Greece? Is that the same sort of format?
They don't do something weird in the point system in Greece. I know they do that in Belgium. But from my point of view, I think a 14-team league would be quite good. Again, you're adding two teams into it. And like I say, you then take away this. I mean, for example, if Hearts happen to finish out with the top six, then there'll be three Edinburgh derbies, two of them at Easter Road. And only one at Tynecastle. If they happen to fall outside the top and bottom bit of the split, then at least they would play the same number of home and away games against each other as well.
It's, of all the things I've heard this week, Hugh, and I've heard a lot, I mean, some of them are mind-boggling.
Yes.
It does feel like that. If you had to have change, it feels like that one's about as close as you can get to ticking those boxes, you know, the keeping the four Old Firm games if we need them, yep. keeping the competition, look, just deal with it. We kind of need a split, because if you've got the four, if you try to protect the four Old Firm games, country of our size and so on, we're going to have a split of some sort. But you do get two more teams in, a bit more variety. Feels like Johnny's idea is about as close as...
Yeah, it's close, but...
The other thing, sorry for coming in, just while I remember, obviously the bottom eight would be losing out on an extra Celtic or Rangers game.
But they play more games.
They would get the two extra home games to sort of recoup some of that money. Mm-hmm.
Johnny's close, but for me, all of this is about change for change's sake. And my basic objection is I don't see why we need a change.
But I tend to agree. I don't think it's broken necessarily, but that would be pretty close, and then it would still be two more teams, so it would add that bit of freshness, wouldn't it? If fans are saying they're looking for just a bit more variety.
But if fans are looking for variety, freshness, call it what you will, this is the most watched league in Europe. Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't want different though, I suppose, and want more. Do you wait until it's not? You know, do you only make change when things start to slide?
But that's my point. If there was some evidence of this just isn't working, but I see no evidence of this just isn't working. I see evidence of
not a case of fix the roof when the sun's shining.
But there's no, for me, where is the suggestion there's something wrong with the roof?
It's a fair point. I think it's just going to be open to all different opinions. I think a lot of fans do want to see new format. I think it would bring a bit of a freshness to it.
And by the way, so it appears the most. So we've heard from Brendan Rodgers. Yeah. Feels like every manager and a couple of club officials have spoken this week, saying that if there's to be change, they certainly want to see it go up the way rather than down. I think it's, look, for shows like this, it's been great debate all week. We haven't dedicated the full show to it tonight, but I mean, again, it's hard to stop. It just tells you that people are interested, people are engaged. You do wonder, Hugh, if the way the voting structures are set up with 11-1 and trying to get 75% of the SPFL, how hard that's going to be to change anything, really. So you might get your way.
Yeah, I've been at these sessions before. I remember at Hampden when the SPFL came into being, being at Hampden from 10 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, and getting out into the taxi, and the taxi driver said to me, "What's happening in there?" And I thought, I spent 12 hours of my life in there, and, you know, am I more concerned about it than the general public? There's a meeting scheduled for April 29. And at that point, Gordon, my saying to you on frequent occasions, spite, malice and mistrust will come into play. And I don't blame people for self-interest. If you are the man charged with trying to keep a club prosperous in the major division, you go to that meeting with self-interest as your priority. So I'll be very interested on the night of April 29 to find out if there was any consensus at all about anything.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think Johnny's at least thought it out. He's backed it up. He's given us his thoughts and his evidence. I quite like it from Johnny and Shawlins. Thank you on 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. Again, it was inevitable that the managers would all be asked today, which would keep the discussion going just a little bit longer. He thinks, again, he's another one, stick him down, expanding the Premiership could prove to be a boost to the national team, putting a different spin on it.
I think, listen, I've been quite clear on it. The league needs to be bigger. It has to be bigger to allow development. It's, you know, different for fans. It's more, you're not playing the same team three times a season. So it's, listen, I think it's important for all aspects. I'm not Scottish, but developing young Scottish players is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. That's easier to do when every game you're not looking over your shoulder that you might get relegated, which is a catastrophe for the football club. And a lot of teams will feel exactly like that. So actually pushing boys in, we've managed to give Callum Penman his debut, Luke Kenny his debut, I think Peter Aminski as well, and Evan Mooney. So we've managed to give debuts. You know, getting runs in teams is difficult, and more Scottish teams would do that, which ultimately will help the Scottish national team in the long run.
He makes a persuasive case, but making the case might turn out to be different from what proves to be the case. You can promise anything. You know, politicians will promise you anything until they get elected.
I think that bit though, when he says it and some fans are repeating it, and it's not to say that you're not allowed to want it, Scott, but this notion of we play each other too often. The only type of setup that gets you, you know, one home, one away, is like a it's like a 20 team league or 80. So we are not doing that. We're not a big enough country. We kind of need the split for, if you believe what people say, for the four Old Firm games and for that competitive bit, so that all the games kind of mean something as they do. So I'm not saying I love it either, but I think we need to accept that it's going to have some sort of repetition in it, and it's probably going to have a split. You know, is it because we're next to England that we just compare everything to that? Because look around Europe, all the smaller countries have something like that. They have a smaller league and they have a split, or the vast majority of them do anyway. I think there's three in in Europe that have got 20 teams. Then you start coming down and down. Even, and again, if we're talking about, just let me double check so that I've got my facts right in this. The reason that I don't think it's as automatic, I'm not saying Stephen Robinson is wrong, because what would I know about player development, but the Croatian League's got 10 teams, right? Make a bigger league, it makes your national team better. They're doing alright. Their national team's quite fine with 10 teams. Their national team's at a level we could only dream of, and they're a small country, so I don't know if it's as automatic as that.
Maybe not as automatic, but they were the same kind of feelings that I had at the top of the show in terms of why I think it would benefit younger players. Like I said, when I came through at Dundee United, and I remember looking around the club, I think it was before the split came into play, if you were safe with three games left, there was boys getting debuts, and in my opinion, it's an opportunity for a young player to come in under a circumstance where it's maybe not as pressured, and they can show what they're maybe capable of. That then comes into pre-season when the manager said, right, we've gave him a taste of it, he showed he can handle it, he's going to have a full pre-season with us, and then you build the young players' confidence from there, and they feel that they might be able to make the step up. So for me, I'm in favour of it for the reasons. So, and then I look down at the Championship and I see some of the clubs there. I think they would add to the Premiership at this moment in time, in terms of some of the players they have, some of the football they're playing, and the size of the club as well. So for me, I'm for it.
Let's bring in Robert on the line. How are you, Robert?
I'm good. How's yourselves, guys?
Good, thank you. Good. What made you call tonight then? What have you got for us?
It's in regards to, obviously, I'd like the league to be expanded, but then when it comes to like the playoff situation, I would like, say, first place winner of the Championship automatically promoted into SPL, and bottom place of the SPL automatically relegated, but then a playoff between second bottom and second place, and same from the Championship to League One, same from League One to League Two, etc. We're looking at, say, player welfare and the amount of games over the season, etc. And this is just, I think, a way just to kind of cut games down, maybe by two or three.
That means two teams in the Championship are missing out on a playoff chance?
Yes.
Is that a bit harsh?
Yeah, it's harsh.
Because if we're talking about more excitement, more drama, more chance to move between divisions, we've gone from three playoff spots in the Championship to one.
Yeah, and clubs don't want less games.
Some do, to be fair.
Well, Celtic and Rangers, perhaps, but the rest don't, because it's money. They don't want two Saturdays or two game days on which they earn no money. No, thank you. I can hear people around the country saying, not for me, mate.
I guess what's interesting, I was particularly interested to hear what Brendan Rodgers said today, purely because the theory all week is that, hold on, right, a club must have brought this to the table. The whole point about the 10 team, everybody agrees with it, but is that it's fewer games. It must be Celtic that wants fewer games, because really it affects them, you know, more, or it affects the bigger teams more. But then Brendan Rodgers said no, he would favour a bigger league. He thinks the way that you cut the games is all the other competitions, basically, you know, because Europe's got bigger and this is getting added on and that's getting added on, and he says it would be a 12 month season soon before he. So we don't tend to hear from him too often, and it's really interesting. And I think in the background, Neil Doncaster, because people have said this, he can only do, you know, what the clubs say, sort of thing. He's a figurehead, but I don't know. I wonder how much he wants 10. If it's not Brendan Rodgers, is it someone else? It's, who, do you know what I mean? Who wants 10? Who brought this to the table?
Well, that's
who
the
benefits from 10?
Yeah.
But that came out at the same time, or a few days after they said about obviously allowing postponement for European ties, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, because I thought, like, you know, maybe, as much as all the fans have gone against it, maybe of all the teams, Brendan Rodgers says, I think we're playing too many games, so we'd be in favour of 10 teams and it reduces the number of games, but he didn't.
If they want to spare their players, then they could always avoid going to Australia or America for the summer and save their legs that way.
I suppose, listen, it is extra games in Europe this season, both Europa League and Champions League. No winter break as a result to fit that in. So I think there is a lot to try and get around. Not feeling harsh, Robert. So right now, you know, it would only be, you know, one team that would get in that playoff spot in the Championship.
On your point, like two teams would be missing out in a playoff. Mm-hmm. If the league was expanded to say 16 teams,
yeah,
these top four teams in the Championship would already be in the SPL. So they would actually be fighting to actually then potentially stay in the league.
Yeah, but then next season,
more money.
Yeah, but then what happens next season and the one after that and after that? You're still only allowing one playoff spot to get in a league with 16.
But then potentially that's teams from that may have been in League One, being in, then in the Championship.
No, I know, but I'm not so interested. I'm not talking about who they are. I'm talking about the number of teams. It doesn't really matter who they are. I'm talking about the number of teams that you give that opportunity to.
There's I guarantee one would drop down, one would go up, potentially two. And that's no guarantee that would be the same teams every season.
I know, maybe I'm not explaining it properly. I'm talking about if you're building up to a season in the Championship, I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's Partick Thistle or all of a sudden it's Arbroath or Kelty or whoever who've come up as a result. As you're building in that Championship season, you know there are three playoff spots. It gives more to play for. Yeah. If there's only one, it feels like it's more of a closed shop.
Well, you're trying to incentivise clubs, but the Robert scheme disincentivise the clubs.
And then it would be even more extreme because right now there's a complaint that we've only got one automatic relegation and promotion into a 12-team league. Imagine having a 16-team with only one automatic. That then becomes the doors even further bolted.
Again, for me, when it becomes this convoluted, forget it.
You just can't be bored with the hassle, though. That's a different matter altogether.
It's too convoluted. But I heard a man last night on the programme talking about play the Scottish Cup in its entirety in the month of May. Are you mad?
There's been a lot going on. He wanted the League Cup finished in the summer as well.
Yeah.
We've had Celtic and Rangers just play each other three times, but the fourth one's at Hampden or something. I think we had that this week.
Convoluted.
Gordon Dale's head nearly exploded on a couple of occasions, but it's all good because we've all got our opinions on it. That's the beauty of it. So thank you to Robert on the line. We'll agree to disagree on this teaser. You two need to make some progress. Of the top six teams currently, who were their top goal scorers the last time the league had 10 teams? So Celtic's was Mark Viduka.
Was Hibs David Fernandez?
No. Still not got that Rangers one.
De Boer?
No. So late 90s team. Late 90s, one of the most famous and well known. No. One of the favourites from that era. Not Scottish.
Novo?
Hmm?
Nacho Novo?
No, before that.
Canidia?
Nope, before that. Before that. So it's the.
Well, what's late 90s? How? 99.
Pretty much. He was there for a while. He was there for a while, this guy, but Knieger didn't come till after that. Yep. This guy was here for a while. He had a powerful left foot.
George Albert.
My goodness. George Albert. Right.
Was Hibs Tam McManus?
No. Oh. But you're closer. That's a much closer answer.
Pat Lynn.
No, that's further away. Keep your calls coming. There is still time to squeeze some in. Let me mark your card with this, because we've teamed up with the Scottish Football Museum to give you the chance to win a private tour of the museum in Hampden for 10 people. Now, they're open 7 days a week. You don't need me to tell you, today for many of you sparked the start of the Easter holidays. I know you're looking for things to do with the whole family, so why not head along, learn about Scotland's footballing history from the 19th century to the present day, walk through the old turnstiles, sit in the original dressing rooms, see the Scottish Cup. Last time I was in there, they might have changed it. They even had a wee bit about the Clyde One Super Scoreboard, yep. I'm sure. Yep. So there we go. You've got the cafe at Hampden as well to get fed and watered. So head to Clyde1.com to find out more and enter to win that brilliant private tour for 10. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're asking a lot of Hugh Evans and Scott Allen on this teaser, or I should say the Crazy Ponies, because that's the point of the full-time teaser. You send your questions in to us and the pundits try their best to answer them. So if you fancy it, you think you could come up with a question and you'd like to hear it used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com.
So at Dundee United.
Hold on a second, let's just reset the question for anyone who's just joining us. So we're looking for, of the teams that are in the top six just now, so the big city clubs really, two Glasgow, two Edinburgh, Aberdeen, Dundee United, sorry Dundee, who were their top scorers the last time the league had 10 teams? So it was the year 2000. We're having that discussion this week, of course. Rangers was Alberts, Celtics was Viduka. You've got the other four to get.
At Dundee United, was it Rangers number three?
Billy Dodds. It was Billy Dodds. Well done. Any others?
Kenny Miller for Hibs.
Yes, Kenny Miller of Hibs. Well done. Which means you've still got Hearts and Aberdeen. We'll take you down memory lane and give you the ones from the other teams, because remember, originally the Crazy Pony wanted them all.
Was Hearts Stefan Adam?
No.
I
thought Colin Cameron?
No, I thought it was Beyond You. So Motherwell's was John Spencer. Dundee's was Willie Faulkner.
Had him as a coach.
Christoph Cockard, Kilmarnock. Gotta pronounce that carefully.
Say that again.
And St Johnson was Nathan Loudens.
Nathan Loudens,
yeah. Remember those
remember
guys?
Him, yeah.
Takes you back, a bit of nostalgia.
Did we get St Mirren there, no?
Was Aberdeen Frank McDougall?
No. I'll give you some more thinking time before the end. Right, what have we not covered off? How much does Derek McInnes need a win against Motherwell tomorrow?
Well, getting a bit touchy, Derek. He rightly put forward his record in management, and is more or less saying to the Kilmarnock supporters, do you think I don't know what I'm doing here? So, I mean, there was even a caller last Saturday to the programme who said he knew that they were doomed because I said Derek McInnes would save them.
Yeah, your fault.
So, but he really, really needs a home win against Motherwell tomorrow, because the plot is thickening.
I think for me, I think there's no doubt you will see a reaction from Kilmarnock. I don't think anybody's seen that sort of defeat coming. Like we've seen last weekend, I think it's coming to that time where if they were to fall into the bottom six and they were coming up against eight teams, it could be week to week. You just don't know what could happen. But I would fully expect Kilmarnock to provide a really difficult game for Motherwell tomorrow, just purely on Derek McInnes getting a reaction off the players for the performance they put in last weekend.
Dundee, you know, at home to St Mirren tomorrow.
Yeah. There's no guarantee on Kilmarnock, I suppose, but the one thing you think that they can draw on is it being a tough place to go. You know, beating that home record, it's obviously not been enough to keep them in a league position that they want to be in this season.
You know, as we always agree, they're third bottom for a reason.
Yeah.
I think they've missed Vassell desperately.
Mm-hmm. Stuart Finlay's now back, but probably had missed him for quite a while.
Tomorrow's huge, and likewise Tony Docherty in the Dundee St Mirren match, because you know it was a fabulous game last week at Dens, Dundee Rangers, and there was so much to like about Dundee, and then they absolutely collapsed, fell apart. So they have to, you know, do what they did going forward and be a bit more resolute at the back this time. I think that will be a terrific match tomorrow, as will Kilmarnock and Motherwell.
Dundee have conceded 67 goals
already
this season, still seven games to go. It doesn't take a genius to work out what bit needs to improve quickly.
Yeah, defensively, no question. But I think you can spin that. I think the performance for me against Dundee United was fantastic. They then, in that first half, especially against Rangers, they come out of the traps flying. They'll be looking to do the same. I think then the game management side, if it comes in, there'll be points in that game. If they do, obviously get off to a good start like they had in the previous weeks, they then have to maybe change things within the system, maybe look to protect a bit more, because they did look wide open last week when Rangers were breaking on them. But for me, I think Dundee will fancy themselves against St Mirren.
To be fair to them, Scott, yep, they've lost 67 goals. They are also the highest scorers in the bottom six. They've scored more than anybody in the bottom six. So
they have goals in their team.
It's the old Jekyll and Hyde story with them.
Yeah, lots to look forward to tomorrow, and obviously all the games are all you know, really linked, aren't they, in that way? We mentioned Ross County, Aberdeen. It becomes a chance for Aberdeen to go third if Rangers can do them a turn against Hibs. And then Ross County, Hugh, I mean, they're probably just too many teams. There are too many teams in the way for them really to get top six, you would imagine.
Yeah.
But probably a chance for, they've seen it as, you know, securing safety. You know, if the results go their way,
yeah.
You know, purely as an example, if they could open up a 7-point gap over Dundee,
yeah,
with a win, then you'd probably say 7 points, 6 games to go would be nearly there.
I've been positive all night. Now I'll go negative. If they don't win tomorrow, there's a danger of Kilmarnock being on the same number of points as them if they beat Motherwell. Or Dundee, should they beat St Mirren, would only be a point away from Ross County. So it's a big afternoon for them.
Really test you. Can St Johnstone get anything against Celtic?
Not for a moment.
Never mind. I thought he might have produced
something. Not in their wildest imaginings.
I thought he might have produced something for us. Right, let's finish it off. For the top six teams at the moment, can you name the top scorer for each of them the last time the league had 10 teams? So 2000, Rangers was George Alberts, Celtic was Mark Viduka, Hibs Kenny Miller, Dundee United Billy Dodds, which means you've still to give me Hearts and Aberdeen.
Aberdeen's there, we scored that lead, isn't it?
Yeah, probably around then, yep. That's the harder of the two, I think. Hearts, did you say John Robertson?
Yeah.
So it's not him, but I said, I can't remember if I gave you the clue on air. He's Scottish. He's played for some other big Scottish teams as well.
Darren Jackson?
No.
John Cahoon?
His other Scottish teams that you would be interested in are Rangers and Kilmarnock. Rangers, Kilmarnock, Hearts.
Alan Johnson?
No. I can see what you're thinking there.
Striker?
Yep. It was part of that Rangers team in the first Champions League, you know, that Marseille game, that sort of era. So that was at the start. Made his name really.
McSwagan?
Yes.
Gary McSwagan.
Nice. Yeah. And the last one, are you giving up on the Aberdeen one? He's Norwegian. I've not got much else to tell you.
What's his first name?
Harald Stavrum.
Oh,
nah, hardest one. Scotland women's team are already losing 1-0 at Tannadice against Germany in the Women's Nations League, so a bad start there. We'll see if things can improve. We are back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Huge games up and down the Premiership and beyond. Guaranteed drama, I think. We can almost guarantee it. So we'll see how it goes, see what steps can be taken towards success and failure come the end of the season. Gordon DL, of course, back joining us. Hugh will be here. So 2 o'clock. Meet us right here then. And in the meantime, you might as well stay where you are. I know the holidays have started, so we've got the George Bowie, the GBX experience lined up next. Just the man for your Friday night. And we'll speak to you tomorrow.